It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast, brought to you by Outdoor Vitals, Live Ultralight, makers of performance-first ultralight gear like the Ventus Active Hoodie. And if you act quickly, we actually have a deal for you where you can get the Ventus Active Hoodie for 17% off and a free pillow. That's like a $55 savings over at outdoorvitals.com/BP hoodie. And the only way you're getting that discount is by going to that link. Jeremiah, how are we doing today, buddy?
Oh, man. I'm ready to end this Monday on a good note.
I hear that. There's only one more week of live streams, man.
Only one more week of live streams and only one more week of school.
Man, this just works out perfect for you.
It's probably one of my favorite days of the year, honestly.
Yeah? Finally get to get out there during the week and do some backpacking.
That's what I try to do. I try to burn it up May and early June, then it starts getting hot, and then you do the lake life.
I love it. We're going to have to get out this year because last year I was not good at that. This year I'm better at it. But also, I mean, last year I looked horrendous. So can I show something here real quick?
Yeah.
Is it cool if I show something? Let me. I want to pull something up and show people something because I just showed this to Jeremiah a few minutes ago, and I'm going to be honest with you. I've not been like real public with pictures of myself outside of one Instagram account that I have that I don't even talk about very much. But this is the transformation over the last year for me. That was me last year about this time. That was in May, the beginning of May of 2023, and that's today. Now, I'm not skinny, but I'm not as fat now. So, you know, for what it's worth, I'm going to take what I can get. You know what I'm saying? But I'm ready to get out there, Jeremiah.
Well, you look right. I hope that you have some gear that fits because you're half the size, dude. You're a different guy.
Oh, man. Dude, I'm telling you, it feels awesome. I mean, I think we were talking about this earlier. When you lose a bunch of weight, suddenly you get cold a whole lot faster.
Yeah, I get the skinny cold, I call it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have an interesting guest on tonight. People have already been posting some stuff. Tangent Trails, this should be a good one with Huck tonight. Dave Off Grid, let's get it, Huck. Jeff Peters, he kind of looks like Norm Hansen from The Deadliest Catch. And Outside Comfort Zone, y'all look out for Dave. That dude fought a badger this weekend. I have no idea what that means, but I'm sure we'll find out later tonight. But with that all said, Jeremiah, I believe it's time we introduce our guest for tonight. He is an OG backpacking YouTuber from out west in the great state of California. He loves to do some fishing, he loves to do some hiking, he loves to do some backpacking, and he loves him some San Gorgonio Mountain. Let's welcome Mr. Jason Huckaba.
Thanks
for
having
me. How are you doing,
man? Doing well, and congratulations on that weight loss. That's impressive.
I'll tell you, man, it's almost as impressive as when you lost some weight a few years ago.
Thank you. It feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, man, it does. It does. I remember you and Bryce, and I think it was Becker and maybe a couple other people. You all went out with Outdoor Vitals and hiked in Utah, didn't you?
Bivy Stick.
It's Bivy Stick. That's right. That's right. I remember that because you walked out there and I was like, what happened to Huck? He's half the man he used to be.
I was strict keto then. I think I was just under 200 pounds at that point. And that was right before the pandemic.
Right.
back before everything was crazy. I didn't, you know, the whole wearing the mask on the airplanes, everything was open, free. We picked up Dan at the airport. I actually met Devin at the airport. He picked me up, then we were waiting for Dan. I think that was Dan's first time, like, seeing some of these big mountains coming from the flatlands he's at. And just, it's amazing when you see somebody's reaction the first time to those big mountains.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot that Devin was on that trip, too. That's right. That was a good trip, man.
Yeah. And who else was out there? Amy Rout.
Amy Rout. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen Amy in a while. That's awesome. That's awesome.
That was a lot of fun. Cold. It was like, gosh, it was below freezing out there.
Really?
Bivy stick?
Bivy stick. They were big before Zolio. I think they sort of knocked them out of business there. Took a lot of their thunder.
Yeah, I just Googled it. I guess they're still around, but I wasn't familiar with Bivy stick. I feel like, though, all y'all put out a video of that trip, didn't you?
We did, and unfortunately, I was like the only Android guy on the trip, and we were out there to test the Bivy Stick 2, and their developers broke the Android app for the trip. So the whole time, I was having to use somebody else's phones to send out messages.
Yeah,
it was a great app, though. It was a lot of fun. I thank Bivy Stick for sending us out there. But last night, I think it was Devin had the Bivy Stick in his tent, and he yells at somebody's mom says they love him. That's me. Everybody at camp got a good laugh out of it.
Now, I heard something about that. Like, Bivy Stick, after that dropped, they had issues with that actual version of it, and ended up pulling it off for a little while, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah, and then they had to go back and repair it and get it back out there. Because I remember there was a reason why they kind of disappeared. The something happened with that Bivy Stick, and I think that's when Zolio kind of took off, was because Bivy Stick kind of stepped out for a second. And
either to compete against Garmin, and Zolio came right in.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, man, let's talk Jason Huckabee for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk Jason Huckabee. Jeremiah took a ton of notes, guys. If you're watching or listening right now, you have to understand there are two types of people on this podcast. There's mature people like Jeremiah, and there's me. Jeremiah is the one who takes all the notes and makes sure that we stay on track. Like, you, if you're watching the video, he's got this massive piece of paper, and then he sends me a thing on Mac, on our Apple computer things, and sends it to me, and he says, stick to this.
No.
And he says, if you don't, you're fired. So, I mean, I don't want to mess with the boss, because he's the one that runs our finances, so I got to be really careful, you know? I'm just saying.
Well, I'll be honest. For real, though, I'm a really good student, and I wasn't always that way, but I don't know. I always feel a little bit anxious or nervous whenever I don't feel like I'm adequately prepared for things, and so I just – even though I want to just hang out and have a good time, I still like to feel prepared. So I did write a few notes down. And I did want to mention, I was watching your video for Yosemite, and he was out there with a couple other people. And I noticed that Monica, I don't know who Monica is, but whoever she is, she must know how to cook, because guys were out there eating like Backpackers Gourmet or whatever it's called, and she was like cooking red velvet cake or something, and
what
a big stew. I was gonna ask what the deal was. What'd you say?
She's the Iron Chef of the trail.
Wow.
Great meals. She's actually done that twice now, the red velvet cake. Once when we did Great Lakes Loop, and it was our first night on trail, and she made us as a surprise for everybody. And there was a couple hikers coming down the trail that finishing the loop. We were doing it counterclockwise. Uh-huh. And these hikers came to camp, and they were sort of surprised. Like, you can make this stuff out there? You can bake? It's like, yeah.
Wait a second. She baked that on trail?
Yeah, dry baked.
Okay. I did not see. I thought that she had already made it. John, let me see if I can.
Are you going to look it up? You going to send me the link?
Yeah, I'll pull it up here and
straight from scratch. Yeah. And she's done that. She actually won a cooking contest one time through a Flat Cat Gear. And I can't remember what she cooked, but she cooked something on top of Mount Whitney. And then it entered in the contest, and that won that year.
Man, cooking on at 14,000 feet. That's hard.
Oh, yeah.
That is hard. Wow. I'm highly impressed right now.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two things. Yeah, see, I don't know if I can share my screen here, John. See if that'll let you do it.
Well, shoot me the link, and I'll pull it up, and we can just go from there if you want.
I made meals, and she made like this little thing with some fresh potatoes that she boiled up with Hatch chilies, some Spam in there, some eggs, and cheese, and brought it all together. That was pretty tasty.
Sounds like a garbage plate. I love those things.
Is that
you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You just take everything you eat for breakfast and just put it in one big bowl and just cook it, and it's like the most amazing food in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I sent it to you, John. Whenever later on, whenever you get a chance, you can pull it up. It's just a link to a YouTube video. Probably turn the sound off, but if you fast forward to about the 15-minute mark and then fast forward to about the 16-minute mark, you can see both those delicious dishes that that Monica prepared there.
Yeah, they were tasty.
I looked at All American Works Burger. What's your other buddy's name?
David.
David, okay. I don't think I've met David either. But that All American Works Burger that he had, I've had that, and I thought it was delicious. But what makes it even better is if you put it on a tortilla.
Tortillo? It's the new vegetable.
Well, Jason, he let me try this. And I did put it on a tortilla, and I put some ketchup on it. And it was absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Do you mix the condiments up all in the bag together, or do you put the condiments on the tortilla?
Oh, I think you got to keep it separate, don't you?
Oh, no. I always mix them all up together in there and just the combination of everything in there and just pop it around the tortilla or the tortillo.
Tortillo.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling tortillos.
You should. You're not one of those guys then that don't want their food to touch on the plate, huh?
No, if it goes plate, tortilla, whatever.
Well, I have some of those friends that, well, this one chick in particular, she's like a different plate for each food because she doesn't want them to touch. Oh,
no.
No, you just mix it all together.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Is this where we're supposed to be right here?
That's all of right after that is the red velvet.
Okay, we'll see if we can get sound with this while we're doing it. We're going to give it a try and see what happens here. But here we go. Let's give us a shot and see what we got.
We're both jealous of what that is going to, the finished product is going to look like.
The baking pan.
Those Hatch chilies, I smell. Man, oh man, they smell good.
Is that a stew?
There's the finished product of Monica's dinner. Graciously
offered. So just the cheese just melted.
Oh my gosh, look at that, man.
Me a little bit.
It's like eggs and potatoes. Yeah, that is really, that really looks awesome.
Yeah, now show the red velvet cake, John. It's like,
where is that on here?
16.
Go back. Go back.
Yeah, a little right bit there. There you go. You saw it, didn't you?
Right okay. There.
Here we go.
We got red velvet cake.
What?
It's like chocolate cake. It's delicious.
Oh, yeah. We've all had a bite.
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
It's really moist and tender.
Thank you.
That is insane, man. That is insane.
I said I gotta ask Jason.
Do one hike. She made a pineapple upside down cake out there before. She's done falafels out on the trail. All sorts of good stuff.
And I thought that the flatbread pizzas that Miyagi made were amazing.
Yeah.
That's unreal, man. That is unreal.
One year we did a birthday hike for myself. It was like my 38th birthday. A bunch of us got together, and then she made a strawberry shortbread for dessert up there for my birthday. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you should keep her tagging along on as many trips as possible.
I was just going to say, she's invited on every trip, isn't she?
Oh, always.
Hey, I do need to point out today that today I'm drinking my drink in honor of Jeff Garmeyer. Having a little Mountain Dew Zero on here because everybody knows that a backpacker should be sponsored by Mountain Dew. If you're wondering what that is, listen to our very first Jeff Garmeyer episode, and you will hear some really funny stuff. But okay, so let's get back to this Monica, okay? This character known as Monica. How did you meet Monica? How did she end up hiking with you guys? And how do we get her to the East Coast?
So a bunch of us here locally met through a YouTuber. He used to do like local meetups, and a few of us just got together, and that's how I met her, was through this YouTuber. Actually, that's who my buddy Matt met him there as well, and my buddy Steve, all through the same YouTuber.
Okay, so who was the YouTuber?
His name is Alan, goes by Pharaoh.
Okay.
He's a local guy here, and he goes off and does a lot in like the San Gabriel Mountains.
Very cool.
Because of him, and now we've all got our own little group, and I'll go out together, and usually it's me, Monica, and David is one of my groups I go out with. We do a lot of our big trips together, and we've gone on some amazing hikes. Lost Coast Trail, up to Wyoming, tons of stuff in Utah. And it's nice when you can find some adventure buddies that want to do these same trips with you.
No kidding. It's also nice when you're on the West Coast and the views that you have and the places you have are so nice.
Yes.
I mean, I love Kentucky, and we got some beautiful spots, and there are some great places to go backpacking out here. But we don't have Utah, and we don't have the Sierras, you know. We don't have that stuff. So, what if I don't? You don't want me asking what hike that you've been on since you started backpacking? What's the one that you're always going to remember as your favorite one you've ever done? Your favorite place you've ever been? The best view you ever had? Which trip would that be?
There's two. So do I have to pick one? Okay.
You can do two. We got time.
Okay, the first one, is, I would say it all the time, Lost Coast Trail. It's 25-ish miles along the coast. And that was my first like multi-day backpacking trip. And just the views of the sky were amazing. Just the stars, everything. There's no light pollution. You got the waves crashing against the sand there on the beach. Just beautiful up there. And then the other one, I'd say the High Sierra Trail. There's a spot where you cross over the Great Western Divide at Kaweah Gap. It's, gosh, I think 10,500 feet when you cross it at that point. And it's just the views there brought me the tears a little bit. Might have been a long day too, but those views brought me the tears.
Yeah, Dave Off Grid said Lost Coast on the bucket list, hard for permits.
So Lost Coast used to not have permits, and then it became so popular from YouTube, Backpacker Magazine, that now I think it's limited to 4 people per permit now. And I don't know how many permits per day. It was 6 people per permit. Now they've brought it down to 4 people.
Wow.
Yeah. I was looking at pictures of it. It's absolutely beautiful. I'm wondering how it compares to pictured rocks where you have to hike through this sand, because John is telling me like it's really easy to get blisters and he's always dumping sand out of his shoes whenever he's on that trip.
I got a big blister on that trip, but I think that had to do with more the wearing waterproof boots. Sort of a noob mistake. Wearing waterproof boots, got a little bit of water in the boot, got a big blister. Never drained. It's on the last day. It's actually on video on that trip. And Mike is also a nurse, so she popped the blister for me on that trip.
Oh my gosh, a nurse and a chef.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool, man. So, okay. So you've told us your favorite hikes. What was your least favorite that you've done? Because we all have those too.
Yeah. One of them is just so hard, and I've never been able to complete it. So it's called Iron Mountain. It's a local hike here. It's 7 miles, like 5,000 feet of elevation gain. It might be more than that. It's crazy elevation gain. Wow. And I just never can complete it. So that's probably the one I hate the most. I've tried it twice. The first time I probably would have made it, but it started raining, and my buddy and I were both like soaked. and then it started snowing. So we turned around, turned out we were like a mile from the summit. And then another time went up there and it was getting dark. And where there's three of us, my buddy Robert made it to the top and my buddy Hector and I went back. Just not enough time and had to get back down.
Now Hector had a YouTube channel too, right?
Yeah, Hector Outdoors.
Yeah, is he still doing that?
Not too much on YouTube, but I still talk to him from time to time.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I'm going to tell you a trail never to get on. And this is for everybody. I'm doing this as a PSA, as a way to show everyone who listens to the Backpacking Podcast that I love you. And I don't just love you. I love you deeply. I've always loved you enough to tell you not to eat Mountain House. And I feel like I've saved many lives by doing that. But I'm also going to save many a bad trip by telling you, if you go to the Red River Gorge, avoid the Osborne Loop Trail. Like you're going to get cancer by taking one step on it.
What?
I am not even kidding you. That is the worst trail on the face of the planet. Imagine it's a green tunnel with no views at any point during your hike, and it's always 5 to 7 inches of mud.
Sounds like Ohio.
That's – come on now. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like that. Be nice. Be nice. No, but, I mean, that is literally the trail. And I would love to say I'm exaggerating, but – I actually hurt my foot on that trail last year, got picked up on a hitch coming out of the woods, and the guy, I told him which trail I was hiking. He goes, yeah, nobody ever hikes that trail twice.
Mm.
So the locals know you don't hike that trail. So anybody, if you were planning a trip into the Red River Gorge, do not hike the Osborne Loop Trail unless you enjoy misery. Now, Derwin off the rails, he may be somebody who enjoys misery. So that, you know, he is the polar opposite of Darwin. So he may enjoy misery. I don't know, but don't do it. It's miserable. Don't do it. I love everybody. I want you to be happy, so don't do it. So there, PSA done, man. PSA done.
Osborne Trail?
Osborne Loop Trail.
Osborne Satan, Loop Trail.
A.K.A. Satan's Trail. just leaving it at that.
So what's your go-to stomping grounds out there? Because we're always talking about Red River Gorge. Big South Fork is really close to me, and I kind of grew up hiking there, not really backpacking much. But what's your go-to spots for there in Cali?
So if it's the wintertime, Joshua Tree National Park. It's an hour, 10 minutes from home, and there's so many different trails out there. And just the only problem is you got to carry water everywhere, but that's most of SoCal anyways. Summertime, we've got the San Gregorio Wilderness, which is I can view it from, actually, if I opened up the windows to my office, I could see the mountains right here.
Oh, I'm jealous. You've
got 10,000 peaks. It's got the highest peak in Southern California at San Gregorio, which you can camp on the top of, and you can see the desert. On a clear day, you can see the ocean. It's an amazing area, and there's tons of little springs up there. There's a place called Dry Lake. If you guys ever come out, I'll have to take you to that. Hopefully it has some water in it. On a good snow year, it actually has water, and just a magical place up there.
Tuba Solo and you have been on that quite often. I've seen some videos, man. You got some great hikes up through there.
The 4th of July hike every year. We haven't done it for a few years, but used to do a 4th of July hike, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's such a cool spot.
If you on 4th of July weekend, the little town of Forest Falls has like a little parade every year. And we came down one year and we were at the end of the parade. So we're just following along and we were almost like part of the parade. And we just sort of, as we're driving through town, waving to everybody going by, it's like, hello, hello. And it's sort of neat. Like we're just like, just got done conquering the highest mountain in SoCal and everybody's there just cheering us on. It's like, they didn't know we weren't part of the parade.
I was wondering what the elevations were like out there. California is very diverse when it comes to backpacking.
Yeah, so
show everybody your shirt.
So this is from a friend of mine, a studio. He's got a Josh Andres studio. He started doing these shirts here at San Gregorio Mountain. He's got one for you, Kuiper Ridge. He's an amazing photographer. Well, he's a good friend of my buddy Matt Dunn. Both of those guys are amazing photographers.
Yeah, Matt's a really good photographer, too.
Yeah. But the elevation up there, you start, there's around 6,000 feet. That's usually right around where the trailheads start, then work your way up.
Yeah, your shirt said like 11.5.
So yeah, 11.5.
Yeah, if you're starting at 6,000 and making it to 11,500, I mean, I'm not super good at math, but that's a lot of elevation climb. A lot.
That's not a small climb at all. Hey, we've got some comments in here. People really want to get to know you, Huck. I'm just gonna say it. They just really want to get to know you because Christian Paul Photography said Huck has an open invite here in Utah. Our Renegades spent the weekend together in the Rubies last summer. Yes, so, and then Joshua Sprague says, "Come up to Washington, Huck. Come up to Washington.
I'll be in Washington this year."
And then, National Park. Oh yeah. Now this one I think is geared towards Jeremiah, but we'll kind of guess on that. Gonex equals gear guaranteed to give you horrible diarrhea. If it doesn't, they send you free Mountain House. So
the toxic gear.
Yeah. That's Gonex gear. It'll do it for you. I do think it's funny that Gonex almost sounds like a disease of some kind. All right, and then when I was talking about the trail warning, I got a big thanks, JK. And Shane Wolf said, "Mountain House, inches of mud. Sounds about right." And then finally, Dave Offgrid says, "Huck is a master guide. He can go out anywhere in SoCal and know which mountain he's looking at."
There's a little secret to that. It's called the Peak Finder app.
Really?
The cheat code.
Yeah, that's the cheat code.
I like it. So tell us a little bit about this.
So Peak Finder, little app, and it uses AR technology where you can go and just take the camera and then line it up with the peaks, and it'll tell you the elevation of the peaks, what the names are, and it works all across the country.
You realize you just gave away your secret.
Yeah.
All of these guys on here giving you praise for knowing the mountains. Now they're going, wait a second, he cheats? He's a cheater?
Like you said, the cheat code.
Yeah, is this app free?
Go ahead.
Is this app free? This is always like $5.
For Android, it's free. I don't know about Apple.
According to Apple's App Store, $4.99. But you know, I think that Apple—they're charging for everything.
Well, $5 in the grand scheme of things isn't really that expensive for an app.
That's true. I mean, I think for all trails, which I know we've done a whole episode on the different maps, and I got all kinds of hate on all trails, and it's only good for discovering things, blah, 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 blah. Send your hate mail to John. Okay.
Please all do. Trails, I love it.
I think that it cost me like $30 or $40 a year for like the premium version. They did give it to us a couple of years and then gave us some giveaways to do on the podcast, but I guess our rep there left or something, because for the past few years, I've been paying $30 or $40 every year. It's worth it, I think. You know,
well, especially when you're getting out about once a month. I mean, $3 or $4 a month, that's not too bad.
No, that's not too bad. And yeah, look at it like cost per use. That's a good way of looking at it, John. Like you can buy a $500 leather jacket, or you can buy an $80 leather jacket. But it matters how many times you're going to wear it, because it's the price per use. That $500 one might last you for 30 years, where the other one, wear it 12 times and it's falling apart.
There you go, man. Hey, Doc Watson said Peak Finder is used a lot in the White Mountains. And Chicken Little Trek says used a lot in the Smokies. So it's obviously a pretty... John Stewart, though, said, "Not sure if Peak Finder will help me in Florida."
No. What's Florida's highest elevation, like 200 feet?
Maybe.
Yeah. Could be in the negatives. I don't know. It's pretty swampy down there.
Yeah, you're dealing more with alligators than you are with mountains in Florida. Was it alligators and cougars? Are those the two things they have to deal with? Or panthers?
Oh, anacondas.
Oh, anacondas. Snake. Yeah. Yeah, they got anacondas down there. You know, anacondas are not like historically in Florida.
Yeah, they were.
That the only reason they're there is because somebody had a pet and they just let it loose. And that's how they started in Florida.
They just took off.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they're eating everything down there. Speaking of the animals and stuff, I was wanting to ask you, I've seen some of your videos. It looks like you have a fishing pole. I'm not sure how you fit that fishing pole in your backpack. I assume that it's a telescoping rod or something, because it looks like it's about 20 feet long.
So I've got two. I brought them in today. So these are Tenkara rods. Love Tenkara rods, and they aren't that long at all. This one here is like maybe 18 inches. This one's not even 12 inches. And this one here will go up to 8 feet, weighs 2 ounces.
Wait, this what? Here, say, okay, hold, stop. What?
Ultralight. So trout fishing, there's a lot of ultralight rods, just not backpacking. So 2 ounces for this thing right here.
And that telescope's 8 feet.
8 feet.
Can you show us?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a believer, Huck. I'm just not a believer right now.
I've got the line on here too, so let me get the line off. What's nice about the Tenkara rods is there's no reel to them. You've got your line, you've got a leader that attaches to that, and then a fly, and that's it. So let's see.
Okay, so you unwound all the line. It was wrapped around the pole.
Yeah. I got the tip, and then just keep going out.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's like a magic trick.
And that weighs 2 ounces?
2 ounces. I mean, this one's made by Tiny Tenkara. And then just comes in a little, you can either take the little rod tube. That weighs, I think, 5 ounces. Or it comes like a little rod sack. Maybe Hilltop Packs can make some DCF ones.
I'll tell you, they probably already do.
Yeah.
It probably makes something that'll work in.
If anybody in the chat also fishes while you're on trail, make sure you hit us with your load out there so that we can compare it to Huck's and see who's actually got the better gear here. Yeah. You got the Mary Poppins fishing pole there.
And this one here goes out to 10 and a half feet.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. How much does that one weigh?
2.5 ounces.
So for a half ounce more, you get 2 more feet of rod.
Yeah. So it all depends if I'm like when I did Ray Lakes, I'm fishing more lakes, I'd take the bigger one. If I'm at somewhere where I'm doing more creek fishing, I'll take the smaller one. Just a little bit easier than creeks.
Have you ever gone backpacking and the only food you were going to eat was the fish you caught?
I've thought about it. There's been trips where we supplement our meals with that. Then we come back with too much food because we're eating a lot of fish.
So I'm just wondering if you don't make a video out of it. I'm helping you right now, Huck. I'm going to grow your channel for you. I'm going to take you to like 47,000 subs tomorrow. So you need to go out and do like a survival night. Just one night. You don't have to go like for days, you know, but just go for one night. Bring no food. Only food you can eat is what you catch.
And let me also help you. Bring food and don't tell anyone. You do not want to die out there.
Oh, it's one night. You're not going to die, Jeremiah. You act like he's going to starve and die in one night.
I got
to be really tired when he gets home. That's all. He's going to die.
I could guarantee there's lakes where I could guarantee that I catch fish.
Oh, you got to do it, man. You got to do it. And then show it. Then take Monica and have her cook it. And gourmet the crap out of that fish, man. That's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen.
What's a successful fishing situation look like for you on one of these trips? Like, are you out there catching half a dozen fish and you're just like, I guess I'm bringing home all this food back to the house. I don't need any of it.
So on the High Sierra Trail, we were catching fish. We stopped at Hamilton Lake, caught fish there, cooked those up for dinner. Actually, everybody in the camp actually ate them that night. And then on the last night of the High Sierra Trail, Monica was the one doing the fishing. She brought it back down the trail camp and we cooked them there. And we actually had some like trail magic then too. So we ate really good that night. Matt and Steve brought out hot dogs for us. They met us up at a trail camp by Mount Whitney. And then we had fresh hot dogs, fish. It was great.
Okay, you really sprung some comments here with your fishing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so here we go. I'm gonna pull some of these up because this has been interesting. So Christian Paul Photography, I've got some spots in the Uintas. I only take the Tenkara and I fish 16 to 17 inch fish.
That's some good fish, that's for sure.
That rod doesn't look like it can hold that. That's amazing. Yeah. Gone Feral with Squidly says, I stare at the water until the fish jump out just out of respect.
I gotta try that one
sometime. I don't believe him. Christian Paul again says Tenkara is a Japanese style fishing.
That's where it originated.
So do you want to explain what Japanese style fishing is?
So it basically where you've got this, see if I can come in here. So you've got the tip. It's going to work. And then you've got this line that attaches to here. There's no reel at all. And then this line here is like a nylon leader. And then at the end, you attach like your monofilament leader. There's like a little tiny O-ring on there.
Yeah.
And from there, you'd have like 12, 18, maybe 24 inches of line. And that's where you would attach your fly.
Huh.
So you don't lose the whole line if it gets snagged. You're only using the fly, or only losing the fly and a little bit of line.
Yeah, that little bit of monofilament leader, you can retie that if that breaks off. But yeah, that and green what's line.
What's the pound test on that? Pretty heavy duty, right?
So I'm not too sure what the nylon leader is there, but my leader that I attach to monofilament is usually 2 to 4 pound test. No, mm-hmm. no heavier than 4 pound test.
I mean, and if you're catching fish bigger than 4 pounds, you're probably in a deeper lake or something, aren't you? Yeah.
They're sometimes in the shallows, though. They'll cruise the shallows. And we've done a couple trips up there, and I think it's Cowwood Lakes. And you could see these big golden trout cruising the shoreline. And they just didn't want to hit anything, though. But man, if you hook one of those on the Tenkara,
you're eating well.
Yeah.
You're eating well. Rocky Top Wrangler said, take a real fly rod with a reel. You can actually make a cast and fish beyond 10 foot creeks.
Oh, man.
That seems like a lot of weight there.
If I'm going to fish like bigger lakes, I will bring the Tenkara. Then I'll bring like, I've got this real small spinning outfit. So it breaks down 4 pieces. And then I can fish a lot of my small mini jigs and toss those out and a little bit further than I could with the fly rod.
Delta Safari says, Huck, that's an awesome rod. I usually carry a Steinhauser fishing rod and spin cast reel combo micro series.
Okay.
So I don't know what that is, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah, those are the spin cast has like, if I'm remembering right, the older ones have like the little push button on there, and they make some small ones like that, and they're great. They do the job.
Sounds awesome. Also, you got invited again to somewhere else.
Oh,
like we've been doing this show now for almost 5 years, and I've never seen someone get so many invites to go hiking places as I have tonight. I don't know, man. People must really like you. But it says, Huck, Cottonwood Lakes, you're invited end of the month. So just saying, man, we're getting you hooked up on some trips. We gave you a survival video you can make. I mean, we're basically making your life better. Like, that's what we do on this podcast. We make lives better. And he also said, I'd rather go with Huck and use his pig finder than get my own.
There you go.
So just letting you know.
I got two fishing questions for you. One, when you all are cooking those fish up on trail, how do you make them delicious and not just all fishy? And then two, I want to hear the answer to the first one first, and then we'll get there. It's another fishing related though.
So we'll either bring coconut oil, like you can get from like, I don't know if you guys have a Trader Joe's out your way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We do.
Trader Joe's, these coconut oil packets. Perfect to like fry up the trout in. And usually just bring a little bit of lemon and some SPG, salt, pepper, garlic. That's all I need.
Man, salt, pepper, garlic will make everything good.
Yes.
The best steaks, it's salt, pepper, garlic.
Yes.
Every time.
Yes,
I can't agree with you more.
You put a little bit of the lemon on the inside, fry that thing up. Delicious.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, my second question. Okay, I give you 30 seconds here, and I want you in 30 seconds to tell me a lame person when it comes to fly fishing. Okay, I've no idea anything about it besides what I've seen on TV, and I'm not talking documentaries and stuff. I'm talking like I'm watching a TV show, and there's a guy standing in waders waist deep in water fly fishing. So in 30 seconds, tell me as a lame person, what is fly fishing and how do you do it?
So fly fishing is the use of using flies to imitate all sorts of insects from stuff that's below the water or above the water, mosquitoes or like insects that are catching below. You're using a fly line that you're casting back and forth, not a regular line. That fly line's using the force of the rod to cast out back and forth to get that distance out there. And with the fly fishing, you're going after whatever you could catch, bass, trout, catfish, I saw people catch striped bass on them. There's a guy in Texas that I've seen do fly fishing for a alligator gar.
And it's only
alligator gar?
Yes. There's guys that will go fly fishing. There's some, it's heavy duty. They'll go after alligator gar.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's their leader line? I mean, what?
It's heavy. You're doing 30, 40 pound leader line. Sometimes some of those guys might have like a metal leader I've seen before on some of those because of the teeth. But yeah.
But this is only top water, right?
Well, you can also, no, top water, and you can go below the surface as well with wet flies. So there's okay, wet and dry flies.
Yeah, so you're getting stuck on the wet flies.
Yeah, so dry flies, you're going to, if there's a hatch, say like mosquitoes, caddisflies, something like that, where you're seeing a lot of bugs outside, that's when you want to use a dry fly. Mosquitoes are probably like one of the top flies to use when you're fly fishing, for dry fly fishing.
Interesting.
Well, I think you did a great job explaining it there. I can at least imagine a little bit more about how to do it. It always looks to me like they're just basically whipping the water with this fly and then jerking it back. And I just don't – I feel like it doesn't even give any time for the fish to strike.
No, that's why I like the Takara fishing. It just – you aren't just going like back and forth. Like you can get it out there, let it drift a little. And you can watch that rod tip move, and when you see, or the line, you see that green line just make like a little twitch, just set the, bring the rod tip up, set the hook. Most of the time you got the trout on.
And can you throw those trout back if you want? Because my father-in-law, he says they're very delicate and you can kill them really easily.
So with trout, you want to wet your hands because they've got protective slime on their whole body. So if you wet your hands, you're not going to wipe off that slime at all. And try to keep them in the water as long as possible. I do a lot of catch and release fishing. Just did my last trip. We didn't keep one. But they are delicate. If you got a net, you can use the net just to help with keeping them in the water. You don't want them flopping around the shore or anything like that. That's going to kill those fish.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Well, I heard Joe Rogan talk about fishing quite a bit on his podcast. And I love bass fishing. And catfishing, I do catch and release with bass typically, but there is no denying there is something wild about catch and release. You're like taking the fish and jerking it out of its habitat into basically an alternate reality that it doesn't probably.
It's like pulling it into a different universe, parallel universe with no air.
Yeah,
yeah. The irony: you're pulling it into the air, but it can't breathe.
Yeah.
So what would you say to the people that tell you you're a sick human being for out there catch and release fishing or taking the fish and eating them? Sick. What would you be your defense there, Jason?
They're tasty.
That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about right there. Because they are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
They're good, too.
Now, let me ask you something. You're out west. Now, out here in Kentucky, we do a lot of catfishing. You done much catfishing?
I have. It's been a while, but we've got the Colorado River, which has some huge catfish.
Yeah.
And then out there in that area of the desert, there's a bunch of canals that feed all these like ponds and just farmland. There's some huge catfish out there.
I'm telling you, man, I don't think there's a fish alive that tastes as good as a catfish. Man, you get good catfish, man, and it's like, I think it's the butter of the waters. Like, I think it's just like it just melts in your mouth, and it's just heaven. I mean, Jeremiah, do you like catfish, or do you even like fish? I don't even know if you like fish, Jeremiah.
Yeah, of course I do, and I'll tell you, catfish. You know, Lake Cumberland, John. You've been here.
Oh yeah,
Jason. I don't think that you have, but. Yeah. I kind of grew up on Lake Cumberland doing a lot of fishing, and it was created because they dammed it up. And now that we have a lake here, John, do you think it's true? The rumors, they say at Wolf Creek Dam, some of those catfish are the size of Volkswagen Beetle cars. So big, they can't even move. They just lay there. Those bottom feeders just lay there and wait for stuff to swim in their mouth.
I know my dad told me that at this lake that he used to go fishing at in Ohio growing up, that by the dam, they had 5 and 6 foot cats down in the bottom of that water.
There's some big ones out there.
So, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. It could be possible that that's real.
I mean, you can catch some huge ones. We've caught huge ones jug fishing, just like in Kentucky Lake. Yeah, and you stick them out there while you're sleeping, and then you go check them in the morning, if that's legal. If it's not, we didn't do that. But if it's legal, then you come back, and all of a sudden it's bobbing there, and you got this big catfish, 25 to 50 pound, you know? They're huge.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the size of a car, and I don't know about 6 feet.
Man, I'll tell you, we got some good comments coming on here for this fishing. We got some good comments on here. First off, somebody agrees with Huck in a big way. And it's Rocky Top Wrangler. He says PETA equals people who eat tasty animals. So that's in there. Squidly's right there with me. Gone Feral with Squidly says catfish is awesome. Fight me. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I love some catfish. Christian Paul Photography says Parmesan bass fillets fresh on the grill.
Mm.
Now, I will say this. I like fish in general. I'll eat that. I won't complain. Come to Florida, says John Stewart. Snapper and grouper. Now, snapper, I've had some good red snapper. I've had some really good red snapper. Now, JG Koss, I don't know how you pronounce this, but I've actually met him in Michigan on the Pictured Rocks Trail. He said, sorry, John, catfish is my 47th rated fish to eat. I don't know that I've eaten 46 other kinds of fish. So this guy must be like, he must really be a connoisseur, is what I'm thinking.
A lot of fish.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. We've been talking about all these fish and everything, but there's a kind of fishing we haven't yet talked about that just got brought up. And it's called noodling.
Oh.
It's Rod Outdoors saying, I want to try noodling, and Doc Watson saying, do some noodling for those cats. For people who don't know what noodling is, Huck, I know what it is. I'm sure Jeremiah knows what it is. Do you want to explain to everybody what noodling is?
It's mainly for catfish, but you go out to the rivers. It's a lot more back east, Mississippi River, Arkansas River, stuff like that. And they find these holes. They'll stick their hands into the hole, into the catfish's mouth, wait for the catfish to bite, and then pull them out of the hole.
Oh, yeah.
They're using their hand to noodle. That's the noodle right there.
Yep. Now, and a lot of times what they'll do, at least we used to do this, we had a place where we'd go fishing in Harrison County, Kentucky, called Mouth of Cedar. And we'd go out there, and we would take chicken livers and stuff, and we'd do what you call seeding the area. So you put all these chicken livers down in the water, and it pulls all the catfish into the area. And then you go out the next day, and you go fishing. And they're all there waiting on you. We're in Kentucky, bro. We ain't got no laws. I probably can't do it here either, to be honest with you, but these are country rednecks, man. We do whatever the heck we want. You know what I'm saying?
It's flawless.
Now, we did find out Tangent Trail said that most of those giant catfish won't taste good. And I think he's right on that, because I've had some smaller, like 2 foot and under cats, and they're delicious. But I've also had some of those 3-4 foot cats, and not so tasty. It's just old. It's old meat.
Yes. Sort of mushy.
Yeah.
And they've been down for so long just in the mud and recycling everything through their body. Yeah.
Shane Wolf. Oh, go ahead, Jeremiah. Go ahead.
I was just going to mention something about noodling. I have never been noodling myself, and I probably never will. But I have been bit by a catfish, and even though they don't have teeth, I don't know if you guys have been bit by a catfish, but it hurts. They're strong. That little mouth.
I'm going to tell you, if you've ever caught a bullhead, they have little spines that actually have just a slight venom that they secrete, and it hurts. It's not poisonous, but it causes pain. And so those little suckers will sting you, and man, it does not feel good. When I was a kid, we'd go fishing. We had these ponds behind where I used to live, and we'd go out there and catch these little yellow bullheads. And they were delicious, but man, did they hurt when we held them the wrong way. There was a certain way you had to grab them, and if you didn't, they were going to get you, and you were going to feel it. Way worse than getting bit by them, I'll tell you that right now. Way worse. Shane Wolf says, the hiking sucks, but nothing beats a Maryland rockfish. Can't say I've ever had a rockfish. Our guest from last week, unlikely hiker, Melissa. Nope. I don't like swimming near fish, let alone sticking my hand on one. Nope. Thumb down.
They'll come up down. And dig at you in the lake. They'll try to get the moles or the freckles on your skin. A little, you know, if you're out there without a shirt.
And Jeff Peters says, sorry, Shane, Florida rock shrimp is number one. We got some, like, fish battles going on tonight. I didn't know we were going to start fights over fish, but it's happening. And Farrell Squidley says he's been finned. It hurts.
Yeah, I agree with him.
It hurts. I mean, it's not fun when they get you.
You see Bridget's comment?
Let me pull her up real quick. She goes, I only want to fish so I can see my kid learn. Now, see, that's awesome because in July,
that's right.
The stringers are having a kid.
Yeah, and I asked her the other day, have you ever put a worm on a hook? And she said, no, I've not, and I don't plan on it. And I said, oh, well, I'm going to have to show you how. And she's like, I know how. You stick it back and forth through the worm like an accordion. And I said, yeah, or you can thread the worm onto the hook. I always imagine, though, it must be torturous for the worm. I'm literally taking this sharp hook and just shoving it all the way through the worm. All through his innards and everything, just exploding all over my hands. Quite disgusting. About it.
And the funny thing is, like, you can cut him in half and it becomes two worms.
Yeah.
Yeah. He probably doesn't even feel pain, right?
I'm thinking they're pretty indestructible outside of when you actually just let them be eaten completely.
Yeah.
I think the sunlight's more dangerous to them than a fishing hook.
Yeah. Touche.
Why did I say a fishing hook? A fish hook. Why did I even say that?
I don't know.
This is what happens when you get on a podcast. It's like, today we're going to talk about a fishing hook. So anyways, well, Jason, it is, believe it or not, we're almost an hour into this thing, and we need to let people know how to find you online because they need to watch these videos of you with that fishing rod doing the very thing you're talking about. So do you want to let us know how people can find you online?
YouTube, Huck Outdoors, and then on Instagram, it's Huck_Outdoors.
Very cool. And also, I did some searching online, and I found some other places, like Facebook, facebook.com/HuckOutdoors, and on the web at HuckOutdoors.com, which is funny because there is another Huck Outdoors.
Yes.
And he didn't get to it quick enough, and he became HuckOutdoors.net.
Yes. So back in 2011... when I started everything, no, it was 2016. I switched over to Huck Outdoors as my YouTube channel name, and glad I did.
Yeah.
Maybe I have to sell it to him, sell the website to him. Might make some good money off it.
Hey, man, if he's willing to pay the money, everything's got a price, right?
Yeah.
Everything's got a price. So, Jason, we always say it's one of the fastest hours in backpacking, but the one thing that we have to finish this on, and what's surprising is, we only just now got our first real comment about it.
Oh.
Tell us your poop story, Jason. Tell us one of your nightmares from the trail.
So it's going back to the Lost Coast Trail.
So your favorite trail was also your worst nightmare when it comes to poop.
Yes, because you have to poop below the high water line. So there's a cliff on the one side, the ocean on the other. So there's no really good place to poop. So BLM asks you to go below the high water mark there. So you can see down the shoreline this way, a couple miles down this way. You sort of got planted out to where people aren't coming along. And one night on the trail is our last camp. I went the trail. The camp was around the corner. So I went around the corner. There was some girl there that was just enjoying the sunset. And okay, well, she started talking. We're talking for a little bit. It's like, 10 minutes goes by and it's like, come on. I gotta go. It's finally like, excuse me, I gotta go poop. Ran around the corner quick and I see some headlights coming. It's getting dark out. It's like, it might have been one of the quickest poops I ever took.
But, oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are you gonna do, man?
Yeah.
What else are you gonna do?
No other good place. I guess I could have done brought a wag bag, but they suggest to actually poop below the high water mark there, or below the high water mark.
I wonder how close to the tipping point that you got before you finally said, excuse me, I got to go poop.
Oh man, it was close. There might have been a prairie dog there.
My man was closing in on the finish line.
It was ready.
I've already seen the title for this podcast already, and prairie dogs are going to have to be in there. That's all I'm saying. So, Jason, man, it was good to have you on here, dude. It's good to have you on here. If you don't mind hanging out in the green room for us just for a few minutes, we're going to sign off of this thing and say goodbye to everybody, and we'll come hang out with you in just a minute.
Sounds great.
All right, buddy. Prairie dogs, man. I think that may be the first time anybody said that on here.
I think you're right.
I don't think anybody's ever mentioned prairie dogs. Now, Ben McMillan's not happy right now. He says we need to start the show over.
Oh, did he tune in late?
I don't know if he tuned in later. He just likes Huck that much. I mean, how can you not like Huck? I mean, how do you not like Huck? He's one of the nicest guys in backpacking. He really is.
He's super nice. Sorry, I was looking at the comments.
Yeah, I know which one you saw, too. Wag bags are disgusting.
No,
Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir would be very happy.
That wasn't the one I was looking at, but that was good too.
Well, either way, man, it's been a good night. We got one more week left till summer.
Got one more week of live streams, and then we'll continue to produce content for everybody coming out at Wednesday at 6 a.m. every Wednesday.
Every single Wednesday. We don't stop just because we're not doing the live streams. There will be content. Because we love our fans. And we love our fans so much that Jeremiah has already seen the prototype for one of the new t-shirts that we'll be putting out in the month of June. I told you we were going to have merch, and I wasn't joking. It's coming, folks.
Yes, and it has everything that you think you would need for the Backpacking Podcast. There's a little tease for you.
There is. You will love it. You will want one. And we will want you to buy them because we would love to have your money. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But next week we're going to have Carl Mandrioli from the Backpacking and Blisters podcast on here. He and I got the opportunity to go on a backpacking trip a couple weeks ago, and it was awesome, man. We had the best time, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about backpacking in Colorado, and we're just going to have one final awesome end of the year live stream. I'm excited about it.
Oh, I am too, man. I can't wait.
And then season 7 starts in September.
That's right, baby.
Can you believe it?
We're
season 7.
September, my birthday month. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Jeremiah will be 31.
32.
Are you really 31 already?
I'm 31, man. I can't believe it.
You got that baby face, man.
Yeah, well, I hide it with this beard.
I like it. I like that. Beard's looking good, by the way. That's the longest your beard's been in a long time.
Yeah, hot minute, yeah.
Are you using that so your child has a soft pillow to lean on your face with?
I hadn't thought of it, but now that you're saying that, that's good thinking.
That could be a nice soft pillow for that little boy when he's born.
Much better than some rough stubble. Wake your baby up.
I know. That's just going to be scratchy and not feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, if you didn't get a chance to see the gender reveal, it actually is on our Instagram page if you want to go watch that. We did upload that as a live stream, so you should go check that out because it's pretty awesome. You get to see when the baby's gender was revealed and all the amazing people that were there to see that with the Stringer family. So good stuff, Jeremiah. I think it's time to sign off of here and get ready for next week.
All right, let's do it.
All right, thank you for tuning in to the Backpacking Podcast brought to you by Outdoor Vitals. We will catch you guys on the next one.
Adios, folks.